Welcome back, WNST, Taps of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive, and of course, still out on AM 1570. Make sure you're setting your presets for all things WNST these days. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour beginning on the 9th back at Fadley's, back at Lexington Market. This guy cut his teeth to Fadley's back in his 70s, as did my grandmother taking me down there. But we're going to have some great guests talking about shipping crab cakes all over the world with our friends at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. This guy will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5. He might be over the loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars by then. I don't know if he's got a 24-hour rule or a 72-hour rule, or whether you go back and watch this one again and again. Dennis Colazzo joins us now. He's doing the Dennis Colazzo Show, formerly the Sunday Sports Voice. You can still hear it on Sunday mornings here as we get ready for the Denver Broncos. I had a feeling, Dennis, you would have a lot to say about Sunday's effort, other than just DeSean Jackson coming through in the clutch.
Well, you know, like you, I was very active on Twitter Sunday, and I love our fan base. They just lose their minds every time the Ravens win. You'd think this team should go 17-0 every year, be injury-free, make all the right calls, the players execute every play on both sides of the ball, and any less than a victory is completely unacceptable to this entitled, spoiled fan base. I mean, you're playing a team that you've had a you haven't really had much success against, right? You're 10-12 against them. They're at home. They got Trevor Lawrence, who was the number one overall draft pick a couple of years ago for good reason, right? We saw him take apart Alabama in a championship game. There's undeniable talent on that squad. People just can't expect to go on the road and win every game, Nestor.
Well, the one thing I would say week to week in this league, we talk so much about the quarterbacks, right? And the quarterbacks have winning and losing records, right? Like coaches do. Nobody else gets that. Just, the, you know, John Ogden didn't have wins and losses, and Ray Lewis did. But Joe Flacco did, right? And so does Lamar. In the case of Trevor Lawrence, I see these guys week after week after week, and I remember him throwing the ball at Clemson, and I remember thinking he's a way better prospect than Baker Mayfield. Yep. You know, going back to whatever Andrew Luck was, or whatever Matt Ryan would, whatever guys you would look at and say that's a franchise quarterback, or Matt Stafford, or Jared Goff, who never looked the part of a 1-1, or even Alex Smith, who had the moxie of a 1-1, but never had the ability to throw the football in that way. Trevor Lawrence, despite having beautiful hair, and he does, like myself, have beautiful hair, I mean, he throws the ball like a 1-1. The ball goes exactly where you want it to go. It's almost rhythmic in a Peyton Manning kind of way. And then you see him get out into space, and he can't beat a linebacker or a safety or even an edge rusher to the edge. And you see the difference that Lamar has in his game, where Trevor Lawrence has no ability to run around. Not that I saw on Sunday that you would respect it in any way. And it's just a different style, and it's a different way of playing, but it certainly plays into 4-minute offense and 2-minute offense at the end of a game, where you need to matriculate the ball down the field quickly and well, and knowing that the ball's going to get there accurately. We're still back to this with Lamar. And look, you're the grown-up here. I always look to you as being the leadership guy here at WNSD. That tweet on Sunday night after the game, I mean, that's just, that was odious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It was really, really uncalled for. And these guys should stay off of Twitter, right? They should focus on the team themselves. But to emote on social media, and you can't unring that bell. Even when you delete it, people have taken screenshots of it already. You just can't do that. They lose as a team. They win as a team. They have a lot of pride. But you can't react like that. Coach, talk about the 24-hour rule. Coach Harbaugh should have that rule in his locker room. Players should not engage with fans on Twitter, at least until after 24 hours have passed by, because once you hit that send button, Nestor, I mean, I always said the best emails and texts I've ever written, I've never sent, right? And I'm very grateful I haven't done so.
Emails best not sent. Literally.
Email. Yeah, I have a whole litany of those, and I've deleted them and burned them. And because, again, those words, they hurt, they sting, they paint a picture, right? So stuff that mature people just don't do. And there's a lot of maturing growing up that needs to happen with a squad. They went down there and they got their feelings hurt. Give credit to the Jaguars. And also the Ravens, look, they were out without Ronnie Stanley on the offense, right? Kyle Hamilton on the back end. They don't have Marcus Williams back there. So then there were also only two teams in the NFL that won road games Sunday. It was the Eagles and the Bengals. And so it's a week-to-week league. We say it every week, Nestor.
Well, the game was won again, right? And this uncanny thing that Luke and I have talked about, I'm sure you'll talk to Luke on Thursday and again on Sunday about it. They've had double-digit leads in 11 games. They've lost four of them. It's
Insane.
unprecedented. There's only been three teams in the history of the sport that have done that over 11. Like, it's an amazing thing that has happened here, that you see the capability. And I'm starting to look at this, and certainly without Ronnie Stanley, I feel differently about the team, right? I feel differently about the team without Hollywood Brown and without Rashad Bateman. I feel differently about the team without J.K. Dobbins and whatever this version of Gus Edwards is at this point. The fact that they don't have a running game, and the fact that when things go wrong, it's Lamar left, Lamar right. Lamar ran the ball 14 times and would have run it 14 more. And if they had gone to overtime, they would have, wound up running him another five times, six times, because that's their best play. That's an unfortunate statement about the team, because I don't think that's good enough to win a championship. I look at the defense and say, okay, I can buy into, even though JPP looked like he was in quicksand, what's happened to Justin Houston? Adafi Owe is, I don't say a bust as a draft pick, but certainly has not excelled at this point in his career. Bowser making a big play the way he makes a big play. Peters, I got question marks, but the defense with Roquan Smith, with Patrick Queen, with where they are, Marlon Humphrey, Calais Campbell healthy, at least he looked a little gimpy. I will buy into that this is a Super Bowl caliber defense. You could talk me into the old guys having that in them. And I'm going to have Chad Brown on this week talking about that from out in Denver. I got Brandon Stokely coming on talking about the Broncos this week. But the offense, I can't buy into this is a Super Bowl offense right now. I don't see enough vital signs here that they're anything other than Lamar running around. And they might get away with that against Miami one week one of the playoffs or Buffalo week two, or they're not going to win four games in January with this offense as it's constructed right now, the way it's playing.
Yeah, I put the loss on the offense squarely because the defense, the Gus Edwards fumble at the 16-yard line, the Ravens 16-yard line, was huge. Big turning point, gave the Jaguars a very, very short field, gave them a red zone turnover. DeMarcus Robinson drop in the end zone. I mean, Lamar put the ball right there. He's got to make that catch. And also with the clock management issue, which just drives all of us bonkers week after week in the first quarter, getting a delay of game penalty. While on the flip side, you see Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson running a fast-paced offense at times, no huddle, in the effort to gas the Ravens' older players, as you mentioned, not allowing them to substitute on the field. That's what a modern offense looks like, Nestor. So there's, the offense, to me, is stuck in quicksand, and I put the loss on them more. So the defense just, look, they got picked apart because Trevor Lawrence got way too many chances to beat him, and that's what he did.
Dennis Galatzos is here. He's over at Coons Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard. You can stop by and see him. Got plenty of cars on the lot now. Seen Crystal yelling about that on my TV screen. Of course, Dennis and I get together a couple times a week and talk about all of those things. And we'll let Dennis talk about all the financing and all that stuff. But for me, with watching what they're trying to do on offense, it all feels like the play call coming in, how quickly that happens. And I'm not even like one delay of game penalty. I can even accept that once a week. It's not the delay of game penalty that galls me. It's the 7 out of 10 plays, 8 out of 10 plays that the clock is ticking 6, 5, 4, 3. Lamar looks stressed. Lamar looks rushed. Lamar looks hurried. It looks like they're not recognizing defenses. They're not getting up to the line of scrimmage with an opportunity to set up and run an efficient offense and allow the quarterback to assess what's going on defensively at all. It's all they can do what they want to do and get the play call in. It's no bueno. It's not it, like I can't think if they got quality control out there this week in Owings Mills that this isn't job one. Like literally, we need to get up to the line of scrimmage offensively so we can operate out of inspiration, not desperation to get a playoff.
How about a hurry-up offense? And they're fourth and short, Nestor. It's an abomination. We've seen, and I tweeted this out, we've seen Tom Brady. I don't recall ever seeing Tom Brady get stopped except one time at the M&T Bank Stadium where Rex Ryan threw the flag for some reason, and called a timeout, rather, for some odd reason. But we saw Andy Dalton get a push from behind from his tackles. I saw Sunday night, the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, he was under center, fourth and short. They put a tight end in motion. He stopped right behind him, right behind Hurts, and pushed them forward. The fourth and short calls are just a complete abomination. They have to figure that out. And every time I like Pat Ricard, but every time I see him on the field, I'm thinking, huh, what if that was another tight end, another receiver? How much better would that offense look? And Lamar Jackson, we saw him throw a beautiful deep ball, 63 yards to DeSean Jackson. He can sling the pill. I want to see this offense resemble the prototype offense he was running at Louisville when he was a true dual-threat quarterback versus this version of what they're doing. And I do think that if they don't make a push in the playoffs, it would be the last. This will be the last year for Greg Roman. I think they've gotten stale, just like they got stale with Wink Martindale running the defense a year ago.
I can't feel like it's stale when they're not getting plays in. I mean, it feels to me like this stuff should be muscle memory at this point for an offense that Lamar has been in command of for 5 years and that Greg Roman's been a part of, and that, you know, we're so far into this now that the offensive line has really been together more so than in recent years, other than Ronnie Stanley. But guys dropping balls when Lamar's perfect. I mean, and then Lamar not being perfect, which Lamar's not going to be perfect. I think we're, you know, as much as Trevor Lawrence felt closer to perfect, and on any given day, Joe Burrow's better, there are guys who throw the ball a lot better than Lamar Jackson. And that's not pejorative toward Lamar Jackson. That's just a fact. He's okay. He's a fine passer, but he's not an accurate passer on every play. When he's accurate, you got to catch the ball because he is going to overthrow. And I do think there's a communication issue when you invite DeMarcus Robinson in. And when 2 weeks ago, DeSean Jackson's watching games on television, hey, you can't work on timing. Lamar's been hurt. He hasn't been practicing. So, I mean, the fact that this offense is choppy, hurt running backs, no wide receiver one, hurt tight end in the case of Andrews, no left tackle. Lamar's got a hip injury. They almost won.
Yeah, but
many times on Sunday.
But every NFL team has issues, right? Every NFL team has injuries, adversity, etc., which is why it's so tough to go on the road in hostile territory and take teams down. Although I do think it's easier nowadays. Stadiums aren't completely full. The 12th man has become less of an issue for visiting offenses, but every team has adversity in the league, and it's their ability to overcome that adversity that matters. All is at lost. I'm still very positive about the squad. You got the Broncos coming in. You figure the Ravens should win this one, rise up to 8-4. They have a favorable schedule, unlike the Cincinnati Bengals, who do not. So they still hold the keys to the playoffs right in their hands, but they have to get some players back. Ronnie Stanley's a big key. Hamilton, Marcus Williams, and they got to figure out the offense, at least the rhythm, the timing, et cetera, to your points.
7.5 to make you laugh. The Ravens are a home favorite. That's an interesting number because certainly none of us think the Broncos are any good. It's more of a little bit of an indictment of the Ravens at this point. Over under on that 39 now. Dennis, now that Mobile's online, I actually thought before the game, I thought I would have bet on the Jaguars. I would have taken the 4 points in Jacksonville.
Why wouldn't you? The weather was supposed to be bad. We've seen the Ravens struggle on offense with Lamar quarterback when the weather's inclement. But this game should have been put away early. When you let a team that's less talented than you hang around, a lot of bad things happen. And give credit to the Jags. Give credit for them for going for that 2-point conversion. I mean, if they miss that and the Ravens come away with the victory, we're singing a different tune, right? Ravens Nation breathes a sigh of relief. It's an ugly win, but this was an ugly loss, just like every loss that this team takes on. So now they have to circle the wagons, figure things out, and move forward to the Broncos, who last I saw, their quarterback was getting screamed at by one of their defensive linemen. So they have some issues in Denver.
Yeah, I Denver is coming in here a complete mess. You better not lose to them. That's why 7.5 is a little interesting to me. Dennis will be here on Thursday getting you ready for Sunday. Dennis, I don't usually get out in front of this because the schedules – like, I've been sitting at home on the couch for 12 weeks, and I'll say, You know, shame on Chad Steele. I'll say that again and again and again. And certainly John Harbaugh's postgame press conference came in at 1 minute and 42 seconds with three reporters in the locker room in Jacksonville and me being locked out. So, but week to week, I sit here and I watch all the games now, right? Like, and I always did. I was always the guy, the reporter who was in the press box early because the press boxes always had all the games on. Every press box in the league had a wall of TVs. So it was like a sports bar in every press box in the league, other than like Oakland and some crappy places where they didn't really have the space or have that kind of press box, but every new stadium. So I would always, if the Ravens are playing a 4 o'clock game, I'm there early. If I'm doing post game with Luke, I'm watching games. Being at home and having all the games all the time, almost like I'm in the middle of the plague or an invalid of some kind, the games haven't been great. Like, I look at the slate and I'm like, well, you know, I mean, how many good games are there this week? And I looked at Tennessee-Cincinnati and said, that's a pretty good game, you know, over the weekend. Sometimes the Sunday night games are good. Sometimes they're bombs. Boy, this week, now that we're separating who's good and who's bad, Tennessee at Philadelphia at 1 o'clock while the Ravens are playing. Jets at Minnesota, interesting game, right? 4 o'clock games, Dolphins at San Francisco, Chiefs at Bengals, right? I mean, talk about games that have implications for the Ravens, right? Just really, really good Sunday games going on this week. It's going to make your show even more interesting. Certainly when you're talking fantasy and point spreads and all that kind of stuff, good football games happening this week. I'm excited about that.
Great football games. The Colts and the Steelers still, that game still has to be played. And I predicted the Browns would beat the Buccaneers, which they did. Bengals did a great job going to Tennessee, taking down the Titans. This division is very tough, Nestor. These games are not layups. The schedule is not as easy as everybody purports it to be, right? It's going to be a dogfight in the division. And that game against the Bengals, the final game in the season in Cincinnati, that may be for the division title.
You and I might go to it. Let's see, man. I know where to get good chili in Cincinnati, okay? I'll take you
yes,
out there
sir.
For that.
But I tell you, so that, again, there aren't any layups in the NFL, whether it's the Broncos coming into M&T Bank Stadium or the Ravens going down to Jacksonville. They have to show up every week in this week-to-week league. You got to bring your A game. Coaches have to call the right plays, get the team properly prepared. But the players also have to execute. At some point, players have to be held accountable.
I want to get Ronnie Stanley back on the field for me to have – You
That's
know,
huge. That's big. It changes the complexity and outlook of the entire offense. You said they cannot win a Super Bowl without him. I couldn't agree with you more.
Wow. Okay. All right. Dennis can be found out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com and again on Thursday from 3 until 5, back again on Sunday morning with the Sunday Sports Voice and the Dennis Colazzo Show. You can also find him out on social media, D. Colazzo Show and Dennis Colazzo's. Give me a little post-holiday. Just look, man, I sit and watch football. Every one of these car ads, not just Ford, all the car dealers, they're coming in with snowfall, and they got a giant red bow on the car, and everybody's buying their spouse a car for the holidays. Dennis, I know one thing. My spouse hadn't had a car in a couple years. She's been sort of was itching to buy online, but wasn't her thing. I know, like, literally we can drive out there now and, like, there's a blue one, there's a white one, there's a red one. A little different than – it's like the old days, the first 40 years of your career.
Yep, we have more inventory than since pre-COVID, Nestor. We have lots of red bows and green bows, over 200 brand-new vehicles in stock ready for delivery, 2.9 for 72 months on most models. We also have over 200 pre-loved vehicles in stock. We're still in the middle of our Black Friday weekend sale. We've extended that. Through the rest of the month end. And so we're dealing, and we have a lot of vehicles you can actually get in, drive, smell, feel, et cetera.
What's Black Friday deals mean at Coons Baltimore Ford?
Huge discounts. You see us on TV everywhere. Crystal Coons, our spokesperson's out there driving traffic to our stores, and we're putting people in the vehicles every day.
All right. Well, Dan, we'll be out on Security Boulevard checking you out also Thursday from 3 until 5. And, of course, any breaking news and the injury reports become more interesting as John Harbaugh gets creative with the injury reports. They are texted out on the WNST text service for all the old schoolers out there. Still about 10,000 of you out there banging around and getting it from Luke, and all of course brought to you by our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford. All right, I'm Nestor. We got Luke out in Owings Mills all week long. We have Russell Wilson coming to town, the once decorated Russell Wilson, the shadow of his former self, and some good football ahead this week as well as some soccer ahead this week in the World Cup and the U.S. and lots and lots of surprises in the world of the World Cup as well. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.